and this evening. This is sadly my last time to be up here before you over the course of this summer program with Brother Donnie. I'd like to thank him and Brother George for the opportunity that I have to get up here and to improve my skills, but not only that, to present the gospel to each and everyone here. That is an honor and a privilege, and I'm very thankful for that. And I thank Brother Donnie for his efforts and all the studies that we have had and the hours that we have put into that. I would also like to thank each and every one of you for your support. I probably would not have lasted very long without the care that was shown to me by each and every one here, and I thank each and every one for that very greatly. Tonight I want to talk about, or I want to raise a question, rather. It's a question that you've either said or you've heard it. And it's a question common in today's society, though not in the way we will talk about it tonight. As a child, you've probably heard, or you probably have said to a child who gets really excited about something, and they're just ready for whatever it is to happen. They're ready for it. Say, whoa, slow down. What's the hurry? What's the hurry? And for that child, there might not really be any hurry. But for us, as Christians, as children of God, there is a hurry. There is something we should be excited about, something that we should be eager to do. So tonight, I'd like to raise the question, what's the hurry? We first have to realize that the gospel, the word of God, demands action. It is not a message that you just hear and that's it. There's more to it than that. There's things to be done. An example would be in Acts 2, verse 38, where it says, repent and be baptized. Repent and be baptized. Going back to elementary school days, verbs show action. It's common knowledge there. Verbs show action. Well, here we have two verbs, repent and be baptized. Action. It's commanded. Commanded action. Not only that, Titus 1 and verse 5, appoint elders in every city. Appoint, that's an action. Philippians 4 and in verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. These are just three examples. It would be hard to turn to a page in the New Testament where there wasn't a command given in some sense. Commands demand action. The gospel is a message of action. But what's the hurry to do those actions? Is there one? Absolutely. 110%. There is a hurry to do the actions that are commanded in the gospel, especially in the sense of salvation, whether that be obeying the gospel for the first time or fixing things. If you have obeyed the gospel and there's something wrong, there's a hurry. There's a hurry that each and every one of us should have in both of those cases. And the first reason for that should be the first thing that pops in your head. Death is coming. Think of how real that statement is. Death is coming. There's no guesswork to that. It's definite. First of all, we need to realize that all men die. We may know this. We may think about this. But do we really dwell on it and apply it to our lives? That all men die. Take a look at Genesis chapter 3 and in verse 19. Right after Adam and Eve has sinned, God pronounced a curse upon mankind through Adam. And it's interesting to see what God said in Genesis chapter 3 and in verse 19. He says, by the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground, because from it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. That's definite. God said, Adam, you're going to die. you're dust, and you will become dust once again. You are going to die. But turn over just a chapter or two to Genesis chapter 5. We won't take the time to read the entire chapter, but even a brief scan uncovers something interesting. Genesis chapter 5 is the descendants of Adam. We see the genealogy of Adam. And if you look carefully, after every person that is listed, we see something interesting. Look in verse 5. So that all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, then what? And he died. And so on and so forth throughout the entire fifth chapter of the book of Genesis. Men die. Mankind will die, no matter what. Death is coming. There are only three men that we have recorded for us that have never died. In Genesis chapter 5 here, we see that Enoch did not die. He walked with God. In 2 Kings, we see that Elijah never died. He was taken up by a chariot of fire into heaven. And in the Gospels, we see that Jesus never died. He did once, but he was resurrected, and afterwards never did die. In Acts chapter 1, he ascended into heaven. But think about that. Out of the trillions of people that have inhabited earth since its creation, only three men never died in the end. Think about how definite that is. That alone should be enough to get us to start answering the question, what is the hurry? We're going to die, whether we like it or not. That is our nature. But not only that, we have to realize that life is short. Humans, man and his pride, we like to deny these facts. As well as we may know them, we deny them. And that is why I'm presenting them before you tonight. Life is short. Not only are we going to die, but the lives that we have to live, they're short. 1 Samuel chapter 20 gives us a little insight on that. If you would turn over to 1 Samuel chapter 20. This is David talking to Jonathan, and David says something very, very profound here. If you look in the latter part of verse 3 in chapter 20, he says, "There is hardly a step between me and death." If you consider distance, a footstep is not very large at all. It's a rather insignificant measurement. When the earth is thousands of miles around, the state of Tennessee alone is hundreds of thousands, if not millions of square miles. I'm not good with distance and measurements. But just a footstep. And that's what David said separated him from life and death. A single footstep. That's short. That is absolutely short. But turn over to Job chapter 8 and in verse 9. There Bildad is speaking to Job, and he says something very similar. This might be more familiar to us in Job chapter 8 and in verse 9. Bildad says, "For we are only of yesterday and know nothing." Because what? Because our days on earth are like a shadow. Our days are like a shadow. Now, this is an analogy that's hard for some to wrap their mind around. But if you look at your shadow, the moment you move, it takes just a split second, that shadow is gone. All it takes is a tiny movement, and that shadow disappears. That's how short life is. Not only is there just a step between us and death, life is a shadow. It's here one moment and gone the next. turn over to 1 Peter chapter 1, and in verse 24, there Peter quotes from Isaiah and gives us another analogy from which to see how short life really is. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and in verse 24, again quoting from Isaiah, he says, "All flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flowers of grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls off." And you think about that. If you could possibly remember the cycles of the seasons of every year that you have lived. That is how short life is. The grass is there, and then by the next cycle, the grass is gone. That's how quick life is. We're like a flower. It blooms, and in a lot of cases, within just a few short weeks, that flower is gone. That's short. We're going to die. We cannot deny that. Life is short. But when it comes to the brevity of life, James chapter 4 is where we most often turn. In fact, you can probably quote it. In James chapter 4 and in verse 14, he says, "You do not know what your life will be like tomorrow." You could finish the rest. "You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away." If you've ever boiled a pot of water and the steam is rising, the moment you take that water off the eye of the stove, the steam that was there just a moment ago is gone, just in that one motion. Again, life is short. Humans, in our pride, again, we overlook this. We tell ourselves not to think about death and how short our lives really are. We refuse to think about it, but it's there. It's true. It's definite. We can look into history and we can see all these people that have died. It's a fact of life. But not only that, when we die is a mystery. Death is coming. Life is short. And the time that we die, the time that we leave this earth, we'll never know. In Psalm chapter 39, the psalmist there, he talks about this very issue. In Psalm chapter 39, if you would turn there for just a moment. Psalm 39, there the psalmist, he asks God a question concerning his time of death. He says there in verse 4, "Lord, make me to know my end, and what is the extent of my days. Let me know how transient I am." The very fact that he had to ask God when he would die tells me that this psalmist, most likely David, who is said to be a man after God's own heart, who had that close relationship with God, even he did not know when he would die. Even David didn't. We do not either. Death is an unexpected thing. If you remember in Acts chapter 5, the story of Ananias and Sapphira. If you remember, they sold a piece of land and kept back some of the profit for themselves. But they lied about keeping some of it back. And Ananias and his wife Sapphira were struck dead. I'm convinced that these two had no idea they were about to die. they woke up that morning in their sin. As Peter said, they were going to lie to the Holy Spirit. They woke up that morning knowing that was going to happen. Little did they know that that day they would die. That could be the same for us. They were struck dead. It's very possible any one of us here could die this very moment. That's how real this issue is. With that being said, we must realize that man dies at all ages. The text does not say, but we can draw evidence that Ananias and Sapphira were not old. Yet they died. If I were to ask for a show of hands of someone, if anyone in this audience knew of someone young who had died, there would be hands that go up. If I were to ask if there were those here who knew of a middle-aged person to die, there would be hands to go up. And so on and so forth for each part of a person's life, whether it be infancy or the elderly days. The moment we accept that, we realize that man dies at all ages. It does not matter how old or young you are. Death is coming. Death is coming. But not only is death coming, there's something else. Rather, I should say someone else who is coming. And it's Christ. Christ will return. God and the Scriptures have promised us that Christ will return. But what happens when Christ returns? Well, first of all, we will be judged. In Acts chapter 17 and in verse 31, we see this very fact. If you would turn there for just a moment. Acts chapter 17 and in verse 31. It says, because he has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead. What verse 31 tells me is through Christ there is a day established in which we will be judged. Each and every one of us will be judged. As the ecclesiastical writer tells us, each man will be judged according to his deeds. Each man. We will be judged. In 1 Corinthians 4 and in verse 5, we see the same principle. There's a time coming at the end when we will be judged according to our deeds. But there's something else that I want us to notice about Christ's return. And this should really and truly help us to answer the question, what is the hurry? Christ's return, it's going to be sudden. It is not something that we know is happening. It's not something that we can foresee. Man has tried and tried again to predict the coming of Christ, the end of the world. And time again, man has been wrong. Matthew chapter 24. We're given possibly the most information we have over the coming of Christ and its suddenness. In Matthew chapter 24 and in verse 42, it says, therefore be on the alert, for you do not know which day your Lord is coming. But then Matthew here gives us a story to illustrate this. And if we can remember this story and think about it daily, then we'll have the answer to what's the hurry. We'll have the answer to that question. Beginning in verse 43, he begins this story. It says, but be sure of this, that if the head of house had known at what time of night the thief was coming. He would have been on the alert and would not have allowed his house to be broken into. For this reason, you be ready too. For the Son of Man is coming at an hour when what? When you do not think he will. The moment you least expect, in other words. That's sudden. Matthew tells us it's like the owner of a house. Many of you here own your own house, and can you imagine if you knew that your house was going to be burglarized, you would prepare for it. You would prepare for the threat that was coming. But the problem is, we don't know when that's going to happen. Thieves come suddenly. They come so suddenly that what preparation is done has to be in advance. You have to be constantly prepared for the thief that would break into your house. Matthew tells us the same is true of Christ. Be prepared, for Christ can come at a time when you don't think he will, just like that thief. You may arrive home tonight not expecting that your house may have been broken into. But it might just be. That's how thieves operate. Suddenly. We may not leave here tonight not expecting Christ to return. But before we can get to the doors, he may have come back. It can be that sudden. In Luke chapter 12 and in verse 35, we again see the same principle. And it's helpful for us to look not only at what Matthew says, but what Luke says. Get Luke chapter 12 and in verse 35. It says, "Be dressed in readiness and keep your lamps alight. And be like men who are waiting for their master when he returns from the wedding feast, so that they may immediately open the door to him when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master shall find on alert when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will gird himself to serve and will have them recline at the table and will come up and wait on them. Whether he comes in the second watch or even in the third and finds them, so blessed are those slaves." And skip down into verse 40. "You too be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." Luke here gives us another way to look at it. The slaves are at home and the master is out to a wedding. And the slaves had no idea when the master is coming back. But the slaves that are rewarded are the ones that are constantly prepared. Why? Because the master can return at any time. And so can Christ. Any time that we do not expect, that is when he will return. 1 Thessalonians 5 and in verse 2 and in 3 says, "The Lord will come like a thief in the night," as we've already seen. The coming of the Lord will be sudden. And when he comes, we will be judged. But it's possible that death will come first for us. We know we're going to die at some point unless Christ returns before the day for us to die has arrived. We know that life is short to begin with. We know that we have no idea when we will die. Tonight I ask you, what's the hurry? Death is coming, and Christ is coming. So what's the hurry? Hopefully by now you've each formulated the answer. The hurry is on the screen right before you. It's as simple as that. Are you alert and prepared? As the slaves who are waiting for their master to return? Or are you like the owner of the house who is unprepared for the robber, for the thief, and he suffers loss? So what's the hurry? What's the hurry tonight? Would you make a change? We've seen all these ways in which the end can come so abruptly. Christ is coming soon. Death is coming soon. It could be this very night. Again, it could be before we even reach the doors in the back. So what's the hurry? We often try to trick ourselves out of thinking that there is a hurry. But there is one. Are you in a hurry to obey Christ? Are you in a hurry to fix your life and turn it back to Him? We need to be. Because we're not guaranteed a second chance. We're not guaranteed a second opportunity to fix things. It could be this very night. If there are those here who have need of Christ, who wish to come forward and be buried in the waters of baptism, those who have realized that there is a hurry, that their soul might be lost this very night if they do not act, or if there are those who at one point saw the hurry and obeyed, and upon being obedient, they sinned and forgot the hurry. Will you be in a hurry this very night to change things, to fix things to the way that they're supposed to be? Again, death is coming. There is no escaping that fact. Christ is coming. Again, there is no escaping. Are you in a hurry? I urge each and every one whom this applies to, I urge you, if you are in a hurry, to obey this very night. If you are subject to the invitation, I ask you to come forward as we stand and sing.